Welcome to Unlapped. Holy smokes, we have a lot to get to. Max Verstappen breaks his own record with his 16th win of the season in Mexico. His teammate has the internet in a frenzy while Mercedes and McLaren are making strong pushes towards the end of the season. Katie George alongside Nate Saunders and Lawrence Edmondson. Laz, you're fresh back from Mexico and now wearing your jumper. Much colder, I take it, in London this time of year?
Yeah, it is. I don't feel too fresh back from Mexico, actually, because I got a bit unwell on the Sunday. I'll leave that to the listener's imagination. So yeah, it was a bit of a ropey end to that trip, and quite glad to come back to London ahead of the Brazilian Grand Prix, because a few colleagues and a lot of people within the sport are doing Austin, Mexico, and Brazil. And in a way, it sounds like it makes sense, doesn't it? They're all, you know, in that Western hemisphere, but the flight from Mexico down to Brazil is like 9 hours plus. And yeah, the thought of doing that on top and then going to Brazil, which can be quite a stressful place to move around as well, in Sao Paulo. I'm quite glad to be doing this one from London, but we'll be back in force, I think all of us, in Las Vegas. So looking forward to that.
I'm curious, since this will be the first race that we don't have somebody from ESPN on the ground, Nate, are you itching to be there, or are you okay being at home given that the championship is wrapped up at this point?
Yeah, so I had the chance to go to this one, and I've got to confess, my enthusiasm for it was not, I wouldn't say low, because I love the race, but yeah, the championship being over, it's been a long year, and I think that at this point we've got Vegas coming up. It's a nice one to miss, but you're always worried when you miss one, especially if there's neither of us on the ground. If something massive happens, you're kind of, you know, you're kind of hoping that the people that you can text, you know, going to come through for you with some, you know, with some info or whatever. So there is always that risk. But yeah, I think everything Lawrence just said, I've been to Sao Paulo twice, and both times I've seen a pretty good time. The first one was when Max pushed Esteban Ocon in 2017, I believe that was. And I saw 21, which was Lewis, one of his best wins ever, I think. So I feel like I've been spoiled a bit by being in Interlagos. So yeah, I think also hopefully the itch comes back for next year, because it is a great, it's a great venue to be at. It's just a long way. And I'm sure people right now are playing a violin listening to me. But you know, at this point in the year, happy to have some extra weekends at home for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And hopefully for our sake, nothing groundbreaking does happen. But if it does, we're going to get right into it. Remember, if you're watching on YouTube, like this video, leave us a comment, and don't forget to subscribe to ESPN for more F1 content. And if you're listening, hit us with a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. It means a great deal to the three of us. All right. As I said, Max Verstappen won his 16th Grand Prix of the season in Mexico City last weekend, a new F1 record for most wins in a season, breaking his own from last year. Yes, we all know that 51 career wins. Unbelievable. He has been breaking records time and time again, but it was his teammate Sergio Perez at his home Grand Prix that stole all of the headlines. First and foremost, I just want to get your all's quick thought on the incident into turn one. Checo Perez, do you put it a little on Charles Leclerc? Charles Leclerc said, you know, I know where to go.
Yeah, Leclerc's right. He did have nowhere to go because he had Max on the inside and Perez on the outside. And I think it was just a case of Perez giving it absolutely everything, seeing half a chance to take the lead of the race from fifth on the grid, which would have been absolutely incredible. That place, you know, would have just gone into raptures if he managed to do it around the outside, but it just wasn't on. And, you know, it's similar to what Lewis did in Qatar. In fact, I think Lewis said he did a me in Qatar in the cool down room afterwards when he saw the replay. And yeah, there was just nowhere for Leclerc to go. And when you put yourself in that position on the outside of the first corner, it's very rare that you get away with that and come away in the lead of the race. So I think it was way too over-optimistic. But in Perez's defense, I thought it was kind of cool that he said, look, you know, I'm sorry for all the fans. He was very upset with himself afterwards. But he kind of said that he felt he owed it to the fans to go for the lead if it was there. So that's kind of his logic and thinking of doing it. It was all or nothing. And despite that making very little sense with his current situation with Red Bull going into next year, I've got a lot of respect for that. Like all or nothing driving, you know, it's always spectacular. You don't want to see a big accident, obviously, but you know, that's kind of what we want. We don't want drivers just kind of backing off going into turn one and not going for opportunities. So yeah, mixed feelings about it, but it was definitely, with hindsight, obviously, the wrong move.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people talked about, didn't they, the Senna quote, you know, the famous Senna quote, if you no longer go for a gap, you're no longer a racing driver. I joked recently on another pod, I said that quote, you know, Senna, probably if he had it back now, he would say, if you no longer go for a gap and you're definitely sure you're driving for your team next year, you know, then you're no longer, you know, there are times when going for a gap just because it exists doesn't count, as Lawrence said. So I think it was a human moment, I think, for Perez. Like, he got, you know, got caught up in the thought of leading into turn one at Mexico. And Lawrence is right. I mean, just on TV, I can't imagine what it was like there, because you, in the media center in Mexico, you can hear the sound of that stadium. It's so loud. And on the TV, you could hear the kind of the energy just drain out of the place as Perez crashed. Gutting. And it sounded like, you know, a good chunk of the crowd all left as well. So, you know, gutting. It's going to be one of those great kind of what if moments, because I think Perez, even if Perez had come out of that corner second or third, that's what's kind of frustrating about it, is if he'd been third still, I think that he pretty quickly gets past Leclerc. Does he catch Max? Who knows on current form, but a second place, given the context of his season, would have been huge. And instead, that crash kind of just massively, it just was a massive foot in the door for anyone who thinks that Ricciardo can get into that seat next year, or anyone can drive in that seat next year, because obviously Red Bull keeps saying that Perez can have it. We'll have it. But, you know, moments like that, you start to wonder, you know, will there be a change? I think as well, I think that importantly, Christian Horner agreed with what Lawrence said there. You know, he went for it. He's a racing driver. Yeah, it was his fault. But I think that there was a bit of leeway given in the aftermath of, like, you know, it shows you how much he wanted to win. So, you know, if you're scrambling around for some positives for Checo, it's that, you know, it wasn't the worst thing he did. You know, it wasn't like he crashed out and it was completely his fault and he was going for 10th. You know, it was something that I think that any human being could probably, if they put themselves in that position, they'd have probably done the same thing.
Yeah, that's certainly a silver lining. And right now, Sergio Perez, I think, needs a silver lining, considering what popped off on Twitter and everywhere else all over the internet after the race concluded. There was a tweet put out by somebody that you guys know, and we don't have to dive super deep into this rabbit hole, but Albert Fabrega put out a tweet. I cannot interpret this, so you guys might have to on my behalf, but essentially this very ominous tweet, is that a fair word for it, with not a lot of detail and not a lot of hard evidence, was put out from the paddock. And then you guys tell me what happened on the ground, Laz.
I'm just trying to find the tweet to translate it.
So the tweet, I'm not going to give you the Spanish. I can give it while Lawrence looks through it.
Yeah,
the English translation was, I cannot believe the rumor, or I do not want to believe the rumor I've just been told in the paddock. Full stop. No, full stop. So very dramatic, very cryptic. And obviously, from Albert Fabrega, who is a very, very well connected and, you know, long established journalist. So when someone like that tweets something, you think, wow. And it come just after Perez has crashed out, not just after, but just after the race. So the implication, I think, that most people had was, it's about Perez and he's either, you know, he's retiring or he might not even see in the next race. I mean, Twitter went wild for it. I can't imagine what it was like in the paddock in the hours after that.
Yeah, I mean, sadly, I wasn't there because I was ill. But from the hotel room, what I could gather, it was kicking off, and it's one of those weird things where it was so inconclusive what he was getting at, that pretty much every single rumor that existed in F1 at that time just was plastered all over Twitter by mainly by fans, I'll be honest. But you know, there were a few journalists kind of chipping in as well. And so no one really knew what it was about. The obvious one was some kind of Perez announcement because of what happened in the race. Ricciardo had obviously had a brilliant race in the AlphaTauri, so that was an obvious one. Then some people went down the Fernando Alonso is going to replace Perez at Red Bull. Obviously, Albert being Spanish and having a lot of connections with Spanish media, and obviously Alonso's camp may have had some inside information there, so people jumped to a conclusion there. And then it went as wild as, oh, well, Lawrence Stroll is about to sell Aston Martin, and therefore no one knows what's going to happen to Alonso in the future, and maybe Perez is going back there for that reason. And it just got wilder and wilder. So it's kind of good in a way, because we got so many rebuttals over the last week to all those rumors, that we basically had all these kind of rumors floating around a little bit in F1. But for the first time I've seen in ages, like, Helmut Marko was quite clear on Perez's future, saying he will be at the team next year. Obviously, Christian Horner has been fairly consistent with that, saying that he will be there next year. Alonso's come out and said there will be consequences. This is in the Brazil paddock this weekend. There will be consequences for people who spread rumours like that. So, I mean, this story is kind of...
And he refused to elaborate what the consequences would be. I think every journalist has asked him, what do you mean by that? And he said, I'm not, you know, I won't explain. So that's... Just add that into the book of great Fernando Alonso quotes. But Lawrence, sorry, carry on.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, that's very true. And then, yeah, for this single tweet, which I'd like to think, knowing Albert and kind of his Twitter feed as well, which is generally like spot on. It's usually like technical stuff. He does these great comparisons on every Thursday, long before like most people get a look at the cars. He's down in the pit lane checking them out. So, you know, there's a lot of respect for everything that he puts together. And I'd like to think this was just a relatively innocent thing where he had heard something and just for whatever reason thought, right, this is about to break. I want to get slightly ahead of the curve here. But I just feel like in doing that, even if it was an instant tweet, it just kind of unleashed this torrent of rumors around the internet, most of which have now been denied. But at no point, I think, has he, as far as I'm aware, has Alex said what it actually was or even really.
So he's clarified to say that it wasn't about a driver switching teams. So he's clarified that. So, you know, I think that's. But that was only yesterday that he said that. So it's kind of like, don't know why the clarification didn't follow the tweet.
So then, of the rumors, then if it's not about a driver switching teams, of the rumors that were listed by Laz, that would leave Perez to retire or Lawrence Stroll to sell Aston Martin.
Yeah, and I think the thing is with a lot of these things, there's always kind of like a kernel of truth somewhere. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point Aston Martin have some investors coming in soon, just given that Alpine have been doing that and there's clearly talks going on. But I think that Lawrence Stroll selling the team after the investment he's made into it is kind of crazy. My favorite one of all of them was if you went through the tweets and you looked at all of them, some people were really putting their detective hats on. One person then tweeted, I know what it is, guys. And people were like, what is it? He says, they've stopped serving tacos in the media center. Which, I mean, if I had heard that rumor, I'd have tweeted about it. I'd be like, this is crazy. I imagine as he's running back down the paddock to get some. But yeah, I mean, it's kept the week interesting at the very least.
But a bit reckless, would you not say? I mean, based on how many things came from this, the fall, I mean, not necessarily a huge fallout because it's all just hearsay on the internet. But I just think that it's a little unfair to do that to some of these drivers, in particular Sergio Perez.
And I'm not sure if Albert knew what it was going to do either. You know, Lawrence is right. Albert's massively respected. I just think it's probably just a tweet that I haven't actually had a chance to speak to him about it, but maybe he'd want it back. 11 million views it had, which was crazy. So you're right, it went all over the place. And that kind of tweet, I think, is fine. If you're then following it up with, this is what I've heard. If you couch it as, this is a rumor, by the way, guys, like, you know, you make it clear, hey, you know, you put like rumor all over it, you stick all these stamps on it saying rumor, 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 and you say, I've heard this, then I think, you know, it's not great because you're kind of saying, I've heard this unsubstantiated. I don't know. Maybe it's the age we live in. Maybe that's the future. I don't know.
There's an NFL.
It is a good reminder to everyone, isn't it, that I mean, I don't actually use Twitter that much. And this is part of the reason is because no matter what you put, people will interpret it in their own way. And so, you know, to put something out like that, I guess is slightly irresponsible because it just left so much open. But it is a reminder that, you know, even when you have something which you can be quite sure of, somebody will turn around and tell you that you're wrong, even if you have the information from a reliable source, or even if you have a quote, you know, people will still disagree with you over what's been said or how it's been portrayed and all that kind of stuff. So I feel like it's a tricky one, a reminder of why Twitter can be tricky. And I mean, I when I do tweet or when I do post stuff in those kind of mediums, I kind of treat it like I would a news story. If I don't know it for certain, then I don't put it up there. And I think Twitter, when it's used best, and there's lots of really good journalists who do use it in Formula One to great effect, is just kind of like giving a little bit of flavor around what you would normally report on, like just the small stuff that comes up, the tiny little FIA decisions, things like that. And again, that's one of the reasons why Albert has all these followers, is because he does pick up on all these nice little kind of little facts and changes and, you know, technical bits, and he puts them out there, and it's a really useful resource for so many people. But yeah, I think it's just a reminder to everyone that every now and again you might think you're doing something fairly innocent, and you're just, you know, in your head it's obvious what you're doing, But to everyone else, you know, whether they're doing it mischievously or not, they're going to interpret it in a different way.
I just want you guys to ask and then report back on the podcast when you have a conversation or you see Albert next. Just say, what was your first thought when you saw it, obviously getting retweeted? Like, I would love to know his initial reaction when it popped off.
Because I think in that situation, you can't really delete it either, can you, at that point? You know, the genie's out of the box. So I guess in that point, he's like, I've got to keep it up, you know.
Before we put a bow on this, I just want to ask, of the rumors, which one's the most blasphemous? Perez to retire? Perez to go to Aston Martin? Alonso to replace Sergio Perez at Red Bull? Lawrence Stroll to sell Aston Martin? The world is your oyster.
I would say Alonso to Red Bull. I would put money on those others happening before that. Just given, first of all, that I think Christian Horner has had several opportunities to sign Fernando Alonso, hasn't done it. Alonso, I know he's kind of in this more nice era, but he still comes with all that baggage. And I think as soon as you put him into that environment, you've also got the fact that you don't just get Fernando Alonso, you get Flavio Briatore, his manager, or, you know, someone who's been affiliated with him for a long time. You put those two in a team with Helmut Marko, Max Verstappen, Max's agent Raymond, Max's dad Jos. I don't think Red Bull need or want that situation.
And it's a lot of personalities in
just,
one room.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an absolute nightmare. And you'd probably then go to the other issue, the other side of the spectrum, to the current one, where the current one is Perez is not as good as Verstappen. I think in that situation, Alonso and Max would be pretty close. I think they'd be clashing a lot more. There'd be a lot more infighting within the team. You've got to ask yourself, which one is the better situation to be in? I think at the moment, given how far ahead Red Bull is, the better situation is to be in with Perez. You know, you'd rather have a driver that's just not really causing you headaches with the other driver. He's just causing you headaches because he's not scoring points. But yeah, Perez retiring, slightly less blasphemous, but still a little bit. I don't see why he would at this point. I think when he leaves Red Bull, he's going to have other suitors. There's going to be other people interested. So I don't know.
I think the worst of the rumors is to start talking about teams being sold. Also, because that came from nowhere, so as I was concerned.
Yeah, I said
Lawrence Stroll might be selling Aston Martin, because not only then are you dealing with a pretty punchy rumor, you're also dealing with, you know, people's jobs and security and stuff going forward. So I think that's, you know, obviously an irresponsible one to put around. We should say that Albert didn't at any point hint that that was the case. There was no indication from him that it was Aston Martin being sold. That seemed to purely come from the imagination of Twitter users. So I think, yeah, there comes a time when it's very understandable as well from PR people or the drivers involved when they're having rumors spread about them to kind of come out with a pretty stern response and say, look, you know, let's stop being silly and move on. And you know, we'll keep you up.
And sorry, Lawrence and Kate, but just to put a final bow on it, and I'm not sure if we're going to, but Ricciardo actually spoke about this today, didn't he? I wasn't sure if that was the next place we were going to go with it. But he's also kind of just drawn a line under it as well and said there's been no talks with Red Bull, which is information I've heard from multiple places as well. I think he knows that there's a possibility that could open up next year, but everything we've heard this year has been Perez is staying. And Ricciardo basically confirmed that today in the media stuff. And yeah, I don't know. It's a shame Lawrence Stroll doesn't have a media session because I think this one would be quite an entertaining one.
Yeah, I'd say. All right, no more rumors, straight facts from here on out. The Brazilian Grand Prix preview is upon us. Let's start with Mercedes because obviously Lewis Hamilton got big points in the hunt for P2. He's now 20 points behind Perez, 3 races to go. We saw some awesome overtakes from him in Mexico. This is a home race, if you will, for Lewis Hamilton, a special track certainly for him in Brazil. Do you feel like this is finally the track, the place that Mercedes could break through and we don't see Max Verstappen or Red Bull sitting atop the podium?
I think it could be, yeah. I mean, this was the race they won last year, the one race they won with George Russell winning it last year. And then if you look at the last two races, okay, they got disqualified from the US and, you know, it's fair to have an opinion on that and say that the car was running illegally. Therefore, you know, it's right that it didn't count. But the performance was there and the margins by which the car was illegal were very small. So sure, they gained a tiny bit of performance from it, but it wasn't a huge amount. And then that performance was backed up again by not so much a qualifying pace, although they weren't actually that far off Max. It's just, you know, less than 0.3, 2.5 tenths of a second. The race pace was fantastic. You know, it was superior to Ferrari's. You know, it would have been interesting to see what would have happened if Lewis had qualified a bit higher up the grid and was able to challenge the Red Bulls into the first corner. So, because Lewis, remember, got the fastest lap on the final lap in Mexico. That, you know, that was pretty impressive. So things are definitely going in the right way. Lewis said today in Brazil that, you know, he's not believing that this is some kind of major breakthrough, and his whole kind of situation with the competitiveness of the car is about to change because they had a similar feeling last year and that proved to be false. So I think we still have to be a little bit careful. But if there's a track that's going to suit that car, I think, you know, Brazil could well be it based on last year, but also based on the characteristics of the car this year. So, yeah, we can just see how they go. And I think realistically, when you look at the other two races afterwards, Las Vegas and Abu Dhabi, this is definitely the best shot for Mercedes to stand a chance. Because I think Abu Dhabi will probably be a Red Bull track. And Las Vegas is so open, we know so little about it, that at this stage, you have to say that Brazil's a better shot.
Passion, drive, and patience. What brings home the winning trophy is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. From superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to turn your car into the MVP and bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
An interesting note and worth pointing out, after 11 years with Mercedes, Nate, Chief Technical Officer Mike Elliott is going to lead the team. How big of an impact will that have on Mercedes? And I believe he was the one who was behind the Zero Pod kind of design.
Yeah, so he oversaw that department that pioneered that. And I mean, it's been an interesting situation to follow with Mike Elliott. Earlier this year, he and James Allison effectively swapped roles. James Allison came back to head up the technical department, and or at least I think it's, am I right in saying, Lawrence, he's now, James Allison's back to technical director, or is he executive technical director?
He went to technical director, and
Elliott went the other way.
Chief technical officer.
Yeah, so it was, and it was interesting at the time because Toto Wolff said, you know, that's, I think the phrase he used, I actually looked back at it when I wrote the news story, he said, it's Mike Elliott owning the process. You know, what Toto Wolff said was, Mike Elliott said, I think I'm going to be better for the team in this role, you know, instead of the role he'd been in. The Mercedes didn't really elaborate on the reasons why, you know, and I don't know whether a lot of people saw that news earlier in the year as a demotion for Mike Elliott. You know, it's not, it doesn't exactly scream that you've got the most confidence in the guy, so maybe he's looked elsewhere. But the thing with Mercedes that's quite interesting and it's quite impressive is they seem to have a lot of talent. They've got depth in talent, you know, and I know that a lot of people have gone off to other teams in recent seasons, but this is an opportunity for a lot of those people, you know, working below that structure to make a name for themselves. And yeah, it's a shame for Mike Elliott, because I think his name will always be kind of associated with that Zero Sidepod concept that they basically got rid of. And, you know, F1's all about innovation. And that was, you know, that Mike Elliott and that department brought in something that was very, very different to the rest. Obviously didn't work, wasn't a winning concept in the end, but if you didn't have concepts like that, I think Formula One would be worse off for it, because that's, you know, if you look back at, especially in the 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, long, long time ago, the cars all looked incredibly different. So the fact Mercedes did that, you know, I've always thought was a pretty kind of a pretty cool quirk of last season, because yeah, you just had, I mean, this year it's a shame in a way they've all converged, because last year, looking at all the cars, they look so different, and now they don't. So, yeah, sad to see them going away. You never like to see somebody leave a team if you suspect that maybe it's, you know, them feeling they've been pushed out. But didn't realize how long he'd been at Mercedes either. He's been there for a long, long time. So I think internally, I'm sure it'll take a bit of time for them to get used to him going on. But Mercedes just, yeah, I'm sure they'll, in the long run, they'll be fine.
Yeah, well, one of the key things about Mike Elliott is that period of success that Mercedes had that, you know, came before this Red Bull success now, he was a key part of that. He was head of aerodynamics and he was the technology director. And so in those roles, I think, you know, he was great because he would be able to come up with these brilliant ideas. And in fact, during that period, Mercedes had quite a different concept to Red Bull and the rest of the field. And guess what? You know, back then it was working. So, I think the one thing that by his own admission, Mike Elliott, when he made this kind of move sideways, whatever you want to call it, from technical director to chief technical officer, was that perhaps he wasn't the right person to really galvanize everyone when they really, you know, needed to come up with new ideas. And perhaps he wasn't bold enough as well when, they went at the end of last year and they were still pursuing this same, you know, you can call it the zero sidepod concept. I think it's a lot more about what's going on underneath the car and the general kind of setup and geometry of the suspension and things like that. And the way they kind of pin themselves into a corner with some of that stuff. It needed someone strong at the very top to say at the end of last year, you know, no, this is not working. We need to change this for 2023. And that's one of the things like Lewis has come out and said afterwards is that he said that he knew as soon as he got in that car, almost as soon as he saw that car, that it wasn't going to be competitive because he saw a lot of the similar traits carried over from last year. And then, of course, we had that kind of Bahrain qualifying situation where Mercedes was so far off. And that's when Toto Wolff was like, right, the concept's changing. You know, we're mixing everything up. And from there, we've had these gradual changes as we've gone along. So, I think it's a bit unfortunate because it is another very talented engineer that Mercedes lost. And you know, they've lost James Bowles to Williams in the last year. There was Eric Blandin who went to Aston Martin from the aero side as well. Some big names have gone from the team. Aldo Costa retired. He actually went to Dallara, but he left F1 not so long ago as well. So there's been some really big names on the technical side. And Nate's right, there's lots of strength and depth there. And hopefully this will create opportunities for new people to come through. But it's a lot of pressure now on James Allison, who's a guy who does deal with pressure very well, it should be said, but a lot of pressure on him to now make sure they have the right direction. And basically by this time next year are in a position where they're regularly fighting for race wins.
By the way, I like a job description of each of those two titles that you mentioned so that I can see the difference between the two because they sound the exact same to me.
Yeah. So depending on the team, sometimes they are very similar. So I think, is Adrian Newey still chief technical officer at Red Bull? He certainly moved up into that position.
I was just checking that out. Yeah.
It does vary on team to team. At Mercedes, the idea was that the technical director would have a lot more control over the car that is both being built for the existing season and the next season. So they're really in charge of the direction of development and everything. The chief technical officer takes a much wider view of what needs to change within the team. So where they need long-term investment, things like that, more theoretical ideas of where they want to go with stuff rather than what needs to change in the immediate future. So that's the way it was presented by Mercedes anyway, in those two roles. And that's why they felt that James Allison was so much more kind of suited to the technical director role. And Mike Elliott was maybe more suited to the chief technical officer role where you're kind of, you know, you're not at the races as much. You can stand a little bit back from it. But actually, James Allison had wanted to move into that role originally to kind of move himself a little bit back away from the front line of F1. So it all depends on what the individuals need and want at the time. But from what Mercedes have said in their structure, that's the difference between those two roles. I hope that makes sense. I mean, they're still fairly similar, you know, top engineers in the team. But yeah, that's kind of the idea.
20 points, as I said, between Lewis Hamilton and Sergio Perez. Hamilton has closed the gap by 35 points over the last five race weekends. Okay, so that's an average of 7 per race. If he keeps that pace, he would jump Perez by 1 point at the end of the season. As betting men, who's your money on to finish second in the driver standings? Nate, I'll start with you.
Oh, that's a good one. It's harder to say Perez. I want to say Perez because I think Perez needs it. And I think that Lawrence is right what he said earlier. You know, we've got a Mercedes track coming up, then a bit of a wild card, and then something that is probably definitely a Red Bull should have the edge over Mercedes at least. So, yeah, I would say Perez, but it's getting super close. And that's why the incident in Mexico was so big, right? Because Lewis was able to take a huge chunk of points out of him. And yeah, once that momentum starts, it's sometimes, you know, you can just ride a wave, and Lewis definitely is at the moment as well.
Fast math, what would it have been if Lewis hadn't have been disqualified in Texas?
Well, he'd have 18 points extra. So we'd be down to
2 points,
right? Am I missing?
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. So I mean, actually, well, I'm not going to take my bet back now, but I'm saying Perez. But actually, having
on the record,
having remembered that before, I would have said differently. But I'll let Lawrence take the Hamilton bet if he's doing it.
Yeah, no, I that's exactly the point I was going to make. Is that it's true? It is an average of 7 a race over the last 5 races, but that's not really true of performance. Now, you could also argue that, well, had Perez not made that mistake in Mexico, then then he'd have points back on Lewis, which is probably fair as well, because the Red Bull did look pretty competitive. But it would have been actually fascinating to see that battle unfold if, say, Checo had got up to second or whatever, we'd had that red flag as we did for the Kevin Magnussen incident, and then Lewis had a chance to fight back at him like he did with Leclerc. You know, what would have happened there? I think it could have been pretty thrilling, especially with the Mexican crowd on one side, fairly obviously. So, I think at the moment the performance, just the general consistency of Lewis over Perez, in my mind, means that even if the races go to plan over the next few, three races that we have, I think Hamilton's a very good chance of closing that gap.
We mentioned Daniel Ricciardo earlier. He obviously got AlphaTauri's biggest points of the year, P7, with a strong impression and strong performance, leaving that impression on Christian Horner, who was very optimistic and complimentary of Daniel after the race in Mexico. He only has 4 races under his belt at this point, but do you feel like he can continue, Nate, with this pace, with this performance through the end of the season?
Yeah, it's difficult to know with Daniel Ricciardo at the moment, because he's had 2 very, very different races, different race weekends. Austin, I think, was pretty ordinary. You know, he was coming back from that injury. And yeah, it was fantastic in Mexico. And I think the car is much more suited to the Mexico circuit. I think this is actually, for Red Bull, will be a really key insight into Ricciardo, because I think one of the problems at McLaren was that he actually had a very good Mexican Grand Prix, if you remember, last year, after he'd been let go by McLaren. That was actually one of the last few great races that he had there. It's keeping that consistency. And if you actually look at Ricciardo's career, there's certain places that where he's always done well. And Mexico is always a place where he's just been confident. He's done very, very, I think his results are pretty strong there. He had pole 1 year. I remember he stole it from Verstappen, could have been the youngest ever. And he stole it right at the end with a late lap. So he's always been good there. So I think that, I can see him kicking on. What's funny with Ricciardo at the moment, just as a quick aside, is he's driving with his little pinky out. I don't know if you saw that, because of his injury, he can't grip the steering wheel properly. So I'm not sure at the moment if he's driving at full capacity, because he said at the moment that's quite uncomfortable. But I don't know, a place like Brazil, I don't know. He said today that the sprint weekends might be a bit tougher on him. But yeah, it's great to see him back. And I think that one of the things that you could tell from talking to people around Ricciardo was, obviously, he was upset to miss all those races, but I think he felt there's a real good string of races there where the AlphaTauri should have been a lot stronger than the car that Nyck de Vries had, for example, at the start of the season. So maybe we're just seeing that now. But yeah, he's definitely confident. And I think that Ricciardo is one of those guys, especially that a confident Ricciardo is a Ricciardo that performs well. And if he can keep it going in Brazil, then there's no reason he can't, because I think that he especially is all down to his confidence. And right now he seems to be in a really good place.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
When you look at the rest of the grid, Lando went from 17th to 5th in Mexico. Hell of a drive. Aston Martin desperately needs a result. Ferrari's trying to turn strong qualifiers into strong results, certainly. And obviously Piastri continues to just be so solid as a rookie. Who do you have your eye on when it comes to Brazil, Lawrence?
Yeah, it's a good question, actually. I think how competitive McLaren and Ferrari can be relative, because we already talked about Mercedes looking quite good. I think that's interesting. And as you say, like, Leclerc is on two pole positions in a row, which is, it's just so Leclerc, isn't it? To be pulling out these amazing qualifying laps, but then not having the car underneath him. And I think that's what it is, rather than Leclerc himself, to then turn that into results in a race, which is pretty frustrating to watch. So I think it's, you know, it's a similar story we've had going forward. Also, whether Williams turn up at any single race, you know, at the moment they're looking good. We just talked about Ricciardo and AlphaTauri. While I think Ricciardo's result in Mexico was really, really good, Tsunoda also got a good result in the USA, obviously got the fast lap there as well, which was a bit of a surprise. And so they've turned a corner with their performance of the car. And meanwhile, you have these teams which are really struggling, you know, and Aston Martin's one of them, absolutely. And Haas as well is another, which has brought a big update, but it's just not really clicked. So, Nate, I've stolen everything there and said it's all going to be exciting.
I've done that before, though. That's the Nate, that's right out of the Nate Saunders playbook. I usually do that.
Right back.
Yeah, I was going to say Aston. I think that Aston is just the story that, you know, they've fallen away so much from where they were at the start of the year. Double DNF last time out. And yeah, you just, you, because obviously we're trying to work out what Aston Martin will get next year. Obviously, it's difficult to predict that with certainty, but they just seem to have fallen so far off of that pack of McLaren, Mercedes and Ferrari who are chasing Red Bull. You know, 6 months ago, after the start of the year, you'd have thought, well, they're going to be going into it, you know, into next season, hot on Red Bull's heels, but they really haven't. So we need to see some, you know, some improvements there. I think that, you know, Alonso always comes out and puts on a brave face afterwards, but I think there's clearly some frustrations of how things are going there, because at one point he was talking about winning races and now they're barely finishing them. So, yeah, good. Curious to see how they get on and whether they can kind of stop this slide a little bit.
I will say, I really appreciated Charles Leclerc fighting back. You said a lot of the fans had already left, but some stuck around to boo him in his post-race interview. I like that he was like, where did you want me to go? It was kind of spicy from Charles Leclerc, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, and it's also, it's kind of like booing a Labrador, isn't it? Booing Charles Leclerc. It's like, you just wouldn't do it. And the dog would look at you like, why are you booing me for? You know, I just thought of all the people to pick. Yeah, Charles Leclerc's probably not the best one.
This is how my mind works. In the off season, when we're looking for content, we're going to do a top to bottom.
As dogs.
Drivers, which dog would be their perfect match?
Okay. I think that's great. I can't wait for that show already.
It's going to be on Unlapped.
And extra points if we can match their name to, so if we can somehow change Charles Leclerc into like a Labrador or something, you know, something like that. Please do send in your best if you're listening.
I love it. Speaking of points, okay, we're getting to the end of the season. Here's an update. Thanks to Zach, because we did not put in our predictions before Mexico. Everybody has been given a full possible 6 points, which doesn't really change the disparity, but it's nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So Lawrence, you currently sit at the top with 52 points. Nate, a close second at 50 points. And Katie rounds out the bottom with 45 points. All right. Laz, heavy is the head that wears the crown. Give me your top three.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to break from our tradition and say Lewis Hamilton wins.
Oh,
I'm going to go out there. This could be disastrous. Three rounds out for my championship lead here. So Lewis Hamilton wins, Max Verstappen second in a thrilling battle between the two, and Checo Perez finishes third.
Okay. I love it.
So that was actually going to be my prediction. Maybe not with Perez third. But I'm in a championship dogfight with Lawrence at the moment. So I'm going to mix it up, because I don't gain anything if the prediction's the same, do I? So I would love, by the way, to see Lewis win. I think also we're approaching territory where we could have two full seasons without Lewis Hamilton winning, which seems insane, because for so long, the record of his career was that he'd won a race every year of his career. I'm going to say Verstappen first, Lewis second, after an epic battle between the two, and third place George Russell, because I do think the Mercedes, this is a really strong track for them. And if you actually think about last year, Lewis, you know, ran George really close in the race as well. So should be a good weekend for them.
hard. I'm going to go with Max because that's not hard, because I can't play around like Lawrence can with some of his picks. I don't have that luxury. Max at the top. But you just picked Lewis, Nate. That's okay. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to ride with you. Lewis in second.
We're trying to beat Lawrence at this point. So I think we need to change our mindsets from predicting accurately and just how we're going to accumulate points.
Roll the dice. Okay.
That's what I'm doing now. This isn't about predicting correctly. It's just about beating Lawrence to, you know, scrabbling around.
I think you've got a safer bet than me on the basis of this season.
Well, but yours is definitely the more fun of the two.
Yeah.
You know, Lewis winning. Mercedes winning.
We have with a 2-point lead.
Max, Lewis, Charles. I'm going to re-rack them from Mexico, okay?
Nice.
Yeah, that'd be a good race.
Mm. Well, and not Austin as well, because Lando was third, wasn't he, in Austin? Charles was fourth, yeah.
So Carlos ended up on the podium. So
sorry, before the Carlos. Disqualification, yeah. I mean, yeah.
And
yeah,
Leclerc was sixth, I think, and got booted.
Don't forget the asterisks of that race. How could you not?
Yeah, yeah. No, I was just thinking where they were before. Yeah, never mind.
It was Leclerc's disastrous strategy because he did start on pole, but yeah, didn't work out.
Don't bring it up. We were just hyping him, you know?
They won't do it again.
They've learned their lesson. As always, I appreciate y'all's time. Enjoy the week at home. Enjoy the Brazilian Grand Prix. We'll be back with more action to unpack on Unlap. Thanks for listening. Remember, follow ESPN for more F1 content and hit us with a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy the weekend, guys. Cheers.